Afternoon. Welcome back. 317, 730, WTNT, The Truth. It's Andy Parks, live from the Washington Times. Joining me now, Tony Blankley, author of American Grit, What It Will Take to Survive and Win in the 21st Century. Tony's also a vice president with Edelman Public Relations here in Washington, and he has written Breaking the Partisan Fever. It's in the commentary section of today's Washington Times. Afternoon, Tony.
Afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. Doing fine. Colin Powell on Sunday said the divisive, poisonous Washington politics are a result of the media and the Tea Party. The media, I understand. The Tea Party, I don't quite get it. Do you?
Well, I get it in that he's wrong. And the reason I led my column quoting him because so many people seem to think that who have absolutely no memory of Washington politics of the last couple of decades, that partisanship started with the Tea Party. It certainly did not. And of course, the idea that the media causes it, well, you know, we've had a nasty media forever. We've had a liberal media for about, you know, 65 years now. So that's been a constant, and partisanship has been greater and lower. I started off with a brief, just historic point that I think most congressional buffs or historians would probably agree with, that the modern era of really self-conscious partisanship, you know, didn't start in recently or even in the 90s with Newt and Bill Clinton. It started in 1984 when the 8th District of Indiana, the Bloody Eighth as it got to be known at the time, it was a very close election, and the Republican Secretary of State in Indiana counted at 418 votes, I think, for the Republican challenger. And then Jim Wright, who was the Speaker, set up a committee with two Democrats and one Republican, and they decided that the Democratic incumbent won by four votes, seated the guy.
Yeah.
And that was the moment. And I remember, I mean, I wasn't on the Hill, but I was working in the Reagan White House,
right.
And I remember it vividly. That was the moment when an awful lot of Republicans, even who were not conservatives, who were like Nancy Johnson from Connecticut, Chris Chase, who were sort of liberal Republican, Northeast Republicans, finally realized that the corruption of the Democratic Party and their longstanding majority in the House was blocking any kind of change on any front. And that's when the Republican Party started deciding that they were going to stand and fight on principles. They have not fought perfectly on every principle, but that's when it started. And the Democrats then returned fire with viciousness. And so that's when the modern era of partisanship began. And we ought to at least know our history before we start blaming other people or presidents for it.
Yeah.
The bigger point of my column, obviously, well, not obviously for the listeners that haven't read it, but as I was writing it, was that the partisanship in this country and the dysfunction of Washington is a symptom of the national division that's been grown greater and deeper and more even over the last 25 years. And it's not the cause. And if we can't suppress the partisanship without first solving the national problem, which requires leadership, which we haven't had in quite a while. And I point out in the column, you look at the congressional vote nationally. Everyone who casts a vote for any congressman or candidate, you know, starting in about 1990 up until present, with the exception of the three elections of 94, 2006, and 2010, they've always been like 49.5 to 49.5 or 51-49. This is a very evenly divided country. That in part has caused real fighting over each seat because every seat matters. But it also means the country has got more and more divided on the fundamental issues of whether we're going to become a sort of a Europeanized post-constitutional kind of a country or whether we're going to remain what we have been. And you see that in presidential elections. The last person to win by more than 53% was Ronald Reagan in 1984. Most of the elections, the winners have been got less than 50% or just barely. George Herbert Walker got 53%. Obama got 52.9.
Mm-hmm.
So this is an evenly divided country, and until somebody comes along and paints a vision of where at least 55% of the country wants to go for a while, we're going to continue to have the partisanship. And trying to suppress partisanship without dealing with the problems that divide the country just isn't going to work.
Well, Colin Powell says stop paying attention to Washington. That's what you need to do, people. And then politicians will get back to, you know, to bipartisanship.
Yeah, that was the other part. I hadn't got to it. I quoted in the column where he says if the media would simply stop reporting all this stuff and we can let the congressmen get back and compromise themselves out, we wouldn't have these problems. Well, of course, this is just utter – I mean, he's a wonderful man, and he served the country well in But this is just not an accurate view of understanding what the problem is. The country's not going to tolerate and shouldn't tolerate their congressman selling out on their fundamental vision. We're going to have this is like Andy Jackson in the 1830s, or the rise to the slavery fight of the 50s and 60s, or Roosevelt in the 30s, or Lyndon Johnson in the 50s and 60s on welfare and civil rights. This is going to be at some point solved when the country decides we need to fix this problem, and until that happens, we're going to continue to bicker, unfortunately.
Yeah. I'm going to depend on the Occupy Wall Street crowd.
Yeah. I don't think we want to compromise too much to whatever it is that they think they stand.
I was just, when I read the comment, you know, from Colin Powell, he talked about the Tea Party, I immediately think of the other side, because the comparison is constantly made by the left that the Tea Party, you know, is for the right and the Occupy Wall Street crowd is for the left. But I just keep looking at it and I don't see the similarities.
You know, that's part of a long history of the left creating false mirror images with traditional values. Whether they would see, for instance, in National Socialism, the opposite of communism, where in fact the opposite of communism is free market, limited constitutional government. And, you know, the fascists, the statists, just like the communists, but they try to see their own evil or ill-considered concept mirrored. So the Tea Party, which has been peaceful remarkably, has been organized at the local level to organize people to vote. They haven't been occupying property or destroying property, and have been very successful at that. The left decides to see in a bunch of people who are doing nothing to organize politically and are simply out there being a mess, to see some mirror image when they're not a mirror image at all. They're just a disruptive group. They're not even organizing, you know, the electoral process. It's just part of that long history of the left always trying to see as much bad on the right as, in fact, exists on the left.
Yeah, yeah. All right, well, what I take away from your piece today is that we need to find a strong leader, and we need 55% on board right away, and then we'll get this country back on the right track.
I think a few years, you know, half a decade of real leadership with 55% of the country behind that effort, we could fix an awful lot of our problems and be on the path to solving everything we need to solve in this country.
Mm-hmm. Breaking the Partisan Fever. It's by Tony Blankley. It's in today's Washington Times. I suggest you read it. Thanks, Tony.
Thank you.